Resilience is the ability to bounce back from setbacks and difficulties. There are lots of ways and theories about how we can develop and strengthen it. The irony, of course, is that one of the best ways of developing resilience is through the very act of enduring and surviving hard times, learning about ourselves in the process, and that learning is often in the act of reflection. Personally, some of my greatest personal growth has been when I've had to endure some pretty awful life events. You couldn't have told me at the time, but now on reflection, I'm probably all the stronger and more resilient as a result. Now, I'm not suggesting that we go out looking for hardship, but life does throw curveballs at everyone, and taking the time to look back and think about what we've been through, what we've learned about ourselves, that's an important part of developing our resilience. Today, I'm joined by Lisa Kiley, a pharmacist who has had her fair share of knocks in life and who is joining us today to generously share her reflections on some of the things that have happened to her and how they have shaped the person she has become. I'm Katrina Bradley, and this is The Resilient Pharmacist. So thank you, Lisa, for joining us today.
Hi, Katrina, how are you? I'm very happy to be here.
Excellent. Before we go back in time, perhaps you can just tell us a little bit about yourself so that we know a bit more about the Lisa of today.
Yeah, so I'm a community pharmacist working in Cork City. I've been working for about 5.5, 6 years as a qualified pharmacist. I've been working in pharmacy since I started in UCC, really as a student. So I really immersed myself into it early on. I'm living in Cork City at the moment, but I'm originally kind of from further west, from West Cork, from a small little village outside Bandon.
So you stayed in Cork?
I did. Sometimes I did threaten to go elsewhere, but
why would you leave it?
I have a mom down in West Cork who would be very sad if I left. So, and I'd love it here, and a lot of my friends are still here, and I'm kind of settled really
fantastic
here now.
Yeah,
the other half is here, so
it's you've got it all sorted.
Yeah.
So, Lisa, you've been part of the Institute's Mental Health and Wellbeing Ambassadors, and that group have identified that sometimes we just don't share our stories enough in pharmacy. And you've very generously agreed today to tell us a bit about things that have happened to you and how they've shaped the person and pharmacist you are today. So, do you want to take us back, or where would you like to start?
I suppose I'll take myself back to the village of Newcestown when I was really little. So I was about 6 years old, and everything was great. I lived there with my mum, my dad and my two sisters. And one morning in November 96, we all got up. We went to school. Both my parents were teachers. So I went to school with my mum because she was teaching me at the time. And my dad went to his school, which was local. He was principal in one of the local schools. So unfortunately, there was a phone call to my school to say that there had been an accident and that my dad was very unwell. So my mum had to leave, which was, I suppose it was pretty traumatic for me at the time because I was in the class with her, and it was early morning, so everyone kind of had come in, and I think one of my best friends, who is still one of my best friends today, Alana, she came down and at six was like, oh my God, your dad's been in an accident. I heard it on the way in, and I was like, my dad's a really good driver. Why would he have been in an accident? It was kind of the innocence of a six-year-old. So my mum came down and told me and said she had to go, and that I was to stay in school with my sister, who was in, I think, third class at the time. So one of the other teachers came down. Now, I would have known all the teachers very well, which was actually quite nice because they were obviously my mum's work colleagues. So we were, I think we were writing letters to Santa that day. Like, it was awful when you think back. And I just kept asking the teacher questions at the time. I'd say that probably Dave must live in that teacher's life. I still know her now.
And you were writing a letter to Santa that day.
And then midway through would be putting up my hand to ask about my dad.
Strange question, but can you remember what you were asking for?
I was asking, I got a Barney schoolhouse. Okay. Barney was big in the time.
So when did you hear what was going on with your dad?
I didn't hear till that evening. So I went home to my babysitters, and it was really weird. It was like, as a child, I was quite intuitive, so I just knew maybe to stop asking questions at a certain point. And I think I maybe knew before it was told. I went to the babysitters for the evening, and then one of my dad's brothers, I think, collected me and my sister, and just nobody really spoke until we got to the hospital. And I still struggle with CUH. Like, I walk in there and I'm like, oh, I see the walls and all I see is that, which is weird because it was such a long time ago. A lot of people think I wouldn't remember. And I went in and my mom was crying, and she said said to my sister and myself, you know, daddy's gone to heaven. And my sister and my mom were crying, and I just didn't cry. I'd never had this experience before. I'd never had death in my life, so you know, I think it could have been my first funeral. So it was pretty surreal at the time. And you know,
You
I
were
was
in
like,
shock, weren't you? You or yeah. Yeah.
and I didn't really, I suppose I understood, but I didn't understand. And I think by the I was about 7 or 8, maybe, so it was about a year or two later, I suddenly started to get really afraid of everything. Like, I couldn't sleep at night. I would wake and just tell my mom how afraid I was of everything. My mom was excellent, and I mean, she had to go to work. She stayed working and everything, and she would stay up with me and, you know, talk to me, and I'd eventually fall asleep, and it went on for a long time, and then I'd get up and go to school and pretend that everything was
That
fine.
concept of not receiving counselling at that time would have been quite normal, wouldn't it? I know a friend of mine whose sister died, and the sister, all her class got counselling and had a talk, but the family, and it really affected them. There wasn't really any reference to it other than, okay, well, that happened and now let's keep going. And when you think about it now, in an age where mental health and well-being and, supports are there, it seems strange, but that was just the way it was at the time, wasn't it?
Yeah, and I don't think there was. I as far as I know, I don't, like, I think when my mom obviously looked into it and stuff, I don't really think there was anything that's suitable for me, particularly, I suppose, where I was living. It was a bit rural and that. And I just don't know, was there an awful lot there for me at the time. And I suppose it's not as if I was, I'd say maybe if I was struggling with actually getting on with life, but I was getting on extremely well at school,
Getting on well.
yeah, and excelling in that.
Yeah, but you went through a particularly hard time then as you were growing up, and that impacted on you. But there was more bad luck in store for you, wasn't there?
So just as I was kind of, you know, heading off to secondary school and everything was going great, and one day, I think it was before, I don't know why I remember it being before a Camogie Blitz, but I suppose this ended my sporting career. I don't know, was I great anyway? But I happened to just look in the mirror and kind of notice something out of place on my back. And I think I had seen it already and kind of gone, it'll go away, it'll be fine. But I went up to my mom and I just said, Mom, would you look at this? And kind of all hell broke loose then. Mom was like, oh, that's not normal. So at first I wasn't diagnosed properly. It wasn't, they thought it was something else, and it was actually a family member just happened to look at it who would have had experience in this, and it turned out to be scoliosis. Now, scoliosis can be fine. It sometimes doesn't amount to anything, and you'd just be monitored. But as my teenage years went on, it turned out it started to get much worse. And I ended up having to have two surgeries when I was 16 in Crumlin, which was, it was traumatic just because you're 16 and you want to be going out doing what your 16-year-old friends are doing, and you can't, because I think, especially, we were in transition year, so there was a lot on. My school was very good in band, and there was musicals and stuff, and I missed out on, I got to do the musical, that was the last thing I did, and then I went off to hospital for the rest of the year, and I went to Crumlin and had my two surgeries, and it was really, really daunting. I was really afraid. Like, I remember sitting at home, and I think they tell you that, like, they're like, you could become paralyzed, you know, and this could
All
happen and
those
that could
things that
happen.
could happen and the risks,
Yeah, and I was like, what if this does happen, you know? And So I took it step by step, and again, I used my thing of meeting people. I had great fun in the hospital. I met all
Okay.
the nurses.
And am I right in thinking you said before this is where the interest in pharmacy started?
It did, because I enjoyed science. I loved science in school, and I loved anything healthcare related. And this kind of opened up my world to seeing healthcare firsthand. So I used to speak to everyone. I don't think I ever got to speak to the pharmacist, but I kind of spoke to everyone and looked at everything, and just pharmacy kind of started to speak out to me. I suppose afterwards, when I came home, there was a lot to do with the pharmacy and as well. And I had done work experience in the pharmacy before I went, so it all kind of tied in. And I think I actually worked there afterwards as well, my first year out. So the girls all looked after me quite well there when I started out. So
And so how was college for you then? Did you enjoy it?
I loved it. I just loved being able to get up, make all my food myself, and walk to college and all of that. I just really enjoyed all of that. I really enjoyed it was actually going back to it. I loved being around people. I just really realized all the stuff that, makes me really happy. Now, you'd start to notice, all right, stuff that you've taken with you from times that maybe you didn't deal well with.
Okay, can you
So
explain what they might be?
like I think in third year, I found like there was just a few things happened, and I just found things a bit stressful. And when I get stressed, I'd start to like catastrophize everything.
Okay, so when you say catastrophize, what do you mean?
I would think of something. It could be anything. It could be I'd have a pain in my arm, and that would suddenly turn into something huge. I would be like, geez, there's this wrong with me and that wrong with me and everything. And I suppose that links into being sick as well, and maybe the delayed diagnosis and stuff probably had a bit of an effect. So I would be very like that, and I kind of didn't take much notice of it at the time. I think it did drift in and out of being like that.
And when did you notice and address it then?
Oh, I think I've only done that now. Like
Okay.
I found it didn't really, it might have here and there affected me, and I would be very good at, talking myself out of it as such, and
Okay.
sitting down and going, okay, why are you thinking this and all of that. But I think it was a bit haphazard how I was thinking about it. Like I was kind of half addressing it, but not really. And I think the pandemic this year has kind of, I suppose the pandemic took away an awful lot of what I love. In work, you can't be hanging out with the patients too much anymore. Everyone is very stressed, so it's hard. I was even talking to a patient yesterday about it, that sometimes, like people are so wrapped up in everything that's going on in their own lives now, it's quite hard to find people to chat to that if you are feeling a bit off, that they're kind of taken up with everything else. So
That's a great awareness to have, isn't it? That people are what help you to be resilient, and in the absence of that sort of contact and interaction, you can feel it. You can feel the impact.
and like it's not like I have my boyfriend, I have my mom and everything, I can speak to them and that, but I think I like the dynamic people. Like I like people moving in and out of my life, and different people and that. So I definitely found that hard, and I couldn't really figure out why I was feeling that way. And I suppose I started to, like, there was a couple of times recently in work where I just felt a little bit overwhelmed by everything going on. And I kind of looked things up, and I did look into, the looking at it and challenging what I was thinking, and reflecting on it and stuff like that. And it definitely has helped. But I think I was saying, I was like, I've never had counseling, I never would have counseling and anything like that. And then yesterday I had signed up to like an online for it with my mind, which has been advertised for people working during the pandemic. And I was like, do you know what, it's funded, it's free, will I just go on before I do this? And I did. And
Okay, so you went on to my, what was my mind last night?
yeah, my mind, I
Okay.
went on, and I kind of feel like I was like, it's awful, I feel like I needed to make an excuse for going.
Yeah, tell me about that. What was the resistance to counselling beforehand?
I don't know. I think one of the things would be I like to do things for myself. And I've always been that way. Even when I'm studying and stuff, I tend to go, yeah, and then I'll go off and look it all up myself. And I tend to be a bit like that anyway. And I like to figure things out. And I suppose there can be a level of, there can be negative connotations around this sort of thing. Like no
And are
matter,
there
and
still? Yeah,
I think
I would
there
have.
is. Yeah, I think there is, because I think people see stuff like this, that it's maybe a sign of weakness or something. Not that I would ever, I don't think that at all. I'm always pushing people to go other
Yeah,
people,
as
but I've
other
never
people.
done it myself. And
Well, it's interesting you say that because other podcast contributors have said the very same thing, that they just feel maybe it would be a sign of weakness or that they just didn't think they should need it, which is interesting, isn't it?
yeah, and I didn't, because I kind of felt, well, I'm fine. Like I'm managing everything, and I'm able to look at things and I reflect. And I do. I am very good at that. And when I went on, it turns out, yes, I'm very good at bouncing back. And I kind of thought it would all be about what has happened to me and, all the
Yeah, can you tell
scars.
us, for somebody who's out there maybe teetering on the edge of thinking about it, what happened? You
So
booked in and then what?
yeah, I booked in and I was like, do you know what? I'll do it. And I think I'd finished an online PT or something. So I'd say she was like, what is your one doing? I was in my gym gear. I was like, so sorry, I'm
An
late.
online what? An online,
An
you were
online
doing,
personal
oh,
training
personal
gym
training.
session. Yeah, because that's my other thing that I love doing. I think because of my back and all that, I find that if I can
Okay, yeah.
exercise, it's kind of one up on the back. And now sometimes I hurt myself severely badly every so often, but it tends to be fine. So I went on, and I was kind of expecting, oh God, is it gonna be now, like pulling all this stuff from being a child and what happened and being sick, and it's gonna be all the ways I didn't deal with it. Because sometimes I would have it in the back of my head going, will all this come back to haunt me? Have I done it all wrong? And she was like, if she was like, no, like you've dealt very well with it, and you've reflected, and you've done, you're very resilient, and it's the ability to bounce back. But I think
So
the
sorry to interrupt, but this was a lady then that was actually a counsellor online. You had booked in and you arranged an appointment and then you meet somebody and this is a free service.
it's free, yeah. There's, I think I get 12
It's available
sessions.
through the IIOP hub, so the COVID hub in the Irish Institute of Pharmacy. So was that how you found it, just going through
It was actually, it
the
was a friend I work
Oh,
with.
very good.
She actually mentioned it to me, and she was like, I think
Great.
they have this thing. And we were just chatting in general about, everyone finding things difficult and tough. And
So this is my mind.
yeah, and
And then.
so anyway, I kind of was like, okay, well, what are we going to talk about now? But it just turns out that, like, because I feel burnt out. Like I feel like, I'm crawling towards my 2 weeks off in the summer, and I'm still getting enjoyment out of the job and everything, but I do feel stressed. And I'm loving my weekends, and I'm nearly on a Monday morning going, oh God, which I wouldn't usually be like. And she kind of just pointed to the fact that my brain doesn't really stop ever. It just keeps churning all the time. And like she asked me what I did to relax, and I was like, what do you mean relax? But I was like, well, I do Pilates, if I'm going to tone it down, and or I'll, and she was like, did you ever just sit there? And I was like, no. Like I kind of think of kind of lower, like I think cooking is relaxing or different things
That
like
can be
that.
the case. Sometimes activity for people is relaxing, but it sounds like you're so active in all aspects of your life. It's trying to identify where maybe you get a
I
little bit of
think,
downtime.
yeah, I think even it's the fact that like I'm constantly trying to fit things in places. So even to do those more relaxing activities, I'm trying to fit it in. So everything's very timetabled in my life.
And I don't mean to pry, and you don't need to tell me anything from the session, but just for somebody who might be wondering about it, when you rang up, what was it like? Was it uncomfortable? Did they start the conversation? You were going with a little bit of trepidation. How did it feel okay for you?
It actually, yeah, no, they did prompt me. They just asked really simple questions. Now, if you're not a talker like myself, maybe it might, you might, I'd imagine they would intervene a bit more and prompt you a little bit more. But no, like they were very, they were very chilled out. And I suppose I was talking about it with somebody afterwards, and she was kind of talking about it as well. And she said, when she went, she got the exact same feeling. So,
Feeling that, and what was that feeling?
just like that, it doesn't really address anything that you're. It doesn't really address anything that you think you're going to talk about. It kind of it delves into different things that you never really possibly you never really that you never really thought they would look at. So I didn't really think they'd ever look at that, and how my general lifestyle affects how I am. And I suppose I was a bit worried that I'd go on and they would think she's really, I thought that they might say something that I was in an awful way or something, or they might pull something out that maybe I didn't realize. But no, it generally was like, you're getting on great, but you need to probably take a break and relax. And the job is, she did mention, like, our job is really, really busy, and there's a big expectation on us. And she said that has to, that day, that has to draw from you, it has to
Yes,
take
your
energy out
energy.
of you. And you have to be aware of that. And I kind of didn't really think of it that way.
Okay, so it's just
But
a
it,
reframing for you of actually, yeah, this is energy sapping.
yeah, I just didn't think of it as being as energy sapping as what it is. But I suppose you're jumping from thing to from prescription to prescription, from issue to issue, from patient to patient. There can be a lot of different things that are thrown at you. And I suppose as years go on, you get very used to it, but then you nearly get too used to it and you don't realize how tired you're getting from it.
That's a really interesting observation. It really is. I think when you're in the middle of it, and particularly a pandemic like we've been in, and where you are just on the go, maybe some of the webinars that we've done with the Institute has been about just just take a moment and find the things that replenish you. But you must feel really proud of yourself that you dealt with big issues really well.
Yeah, and I was delighted. I was like, oh, thank God. Because
So it was a relief almost.
I was, because I kind of felt, okay, you can do it. You can actually, you can reflect on things and get through them. And it doesn't mean, it's going to cause weakness or it's going to come back at you in years to come. And I thought maybe that could be the case. I often hear older people talking about things that have happened, people they know, and it has come back, on them, and that they've suffered in later life. And I was like, my God, is this gonna
Do
happen to me?
you know what strikes me? And I can't, of course, in any way comment on, at the impact on you emotionally of all the things that happened. But from talking to you, you actually inadvertently maybe have a lot of the things that enhance resilience. People around you, knowing where you get your energy from. You were saying that, even just being mindful of when you can feel yourself wobbling or catastrophizing. And you shared, the exercise that's well known as a means of keeping your mind and body strong. But you also shared with me that you were way ahead of your time with journaling.
This is going back to when I was really sad, and there was no other way about it. At night time, I had a little copy book and I would write out all my feelings. And I was about eight, and I think I still have the copy books at home. I don't do it as much now, but I definitely, if I'm really, if everything is in my head going on about something that might have happened, I will write it down. Even as a, like as children, and anybody who has children, if they are going through anything difficult, like they do develop ways of coping, and there are definitely ways of coping, like the journaling, the chatting to people, the surrounding myself with people. Sometimes I think maybe I might surround myself with too many people. I might need to, take a bit of time for myself.
Okay, that's something I don't know, and maybe you can shed some light because you've had a lot of life experience there. It seems to be something quite common with pharmacists that we're self-deprecating and put our needs aside. Do you think I'm overgeneralizing and biased, or is that something?
No, I think it is definitely a thing. Any pharmacists I know, like we kind of were so hard on ourselves, and we're so, it's pushed, perfection is pushed on us. The minute you get into pharmacy, like I don't know how many times I was sitting in extra, and it's not anything against how we were taught or anything like that, but I don't know how many times we were sitting there and it was like, well, if you do this, you'll be in fitness to practice. And
Oh dear,
I kind of feel like a lot of us have taken that with us, and it can be a bit damaging as such. And again, it's not against anything, of how we're taught. We obviously have to be told the implications of stuff that can go wrong in that, but I suppose maybe even a kinder kind of approach to it of, then how do you deal with that afterwards, and that, and like it I just think it really upsets some people, and I have seen it with younger pharmacists, getting really, really upset over, they might put a wrong word on a label or something, and you can, and generally you can phone somebody and sort things out. Like a lot of these things, they can be sorted before anything goes wrong, and there's also, if anything does massively go wrong, you have to think you will deal with it, and people have gotten through this before, and all of that, but
It is interesting. It's does the wand choose the wizard, or the wizard choose the wand with pharmacy? Does it attract very diligent, self deprecating or people who are hard on themselves, or do we end up being conditioned to expect extraordinarily high levels of performance? And what I've seen when I've been in college teaching is that, pharmacy students aren't always necessarily used to failing. And of course, we're talking in the generalization here. Everybody is different and comes with their own ways. But I do think there's a trend where pharmacists expect perfection when they're working with medicines and bring that into their life and expect perfection in other areas too.
No, there's definitely that, and I think we all play off each other, unfortunately. If like I think I was telling you before, I remember qu at quite a young stage, like definitely about 6 or 7 years ago, we were speaking about the lack of lunch breaks and how some people don't have lunch breaks, and somebody turned around and said, well, that's just the way it is, and if you ever spoke up about it, like you're not going to get a job kind of thing. And I remember being like, oh, okay, obviously. And like I ended up needing to, like, I get lunch breaks, thankfully, thanks to my good boss. He makes sure we all get our breaks. And when I had worked in places where I might not have been able to take a break, and that's not anything on, it's the way it's set up. Pharmacies, it's not pharmacies' fault either. It's what's happened and what's been allowed to happen. I ended up being definitely about a stone lighter. I collapsed in work. Ended up at a cardiologist because I was dizzy, and it
Gosh.
actually it turned out, no, the only thing is from that they ended up figuring out that I had Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, which is another illness to throw in, but they think it's linked to the scoliosis. So that can affect, let's say, if I don't have enough fluid in my body will react differently
So
to,
just
so
being hydrated.
yeah, so like there's different things, like in my body is, I think my doctor described it as, if I put my body under too much pressure, it will not work properly before someone else's. So if I'm not hydrated enough, if I don't have enough food, a silly thing like last week where I had a phone in, for I went for a couple of weeks with putting the phone between my ear and my shoulder because we're on the phone an awful lot more, and then you're on the computer trying to do everything, and then you're looking at everything, and I ended up with a shoulder injury.
Oh
So I'm
my
actually going to the
gosh.
physio later for that, but
But there's a lot in what you've just said, because it's that I know you're saying it's nobody's fault and it's just the way it is, but actually we are pharmacy as a collective of pharmacists. We need to be able to call out things, and having a break is necessary for your body, particularly when you're doing very high concentration type tasks, and when you're with people who are drawing from your energy, and keeping hydrated, keeping food in your body. And I'm not trying to in any way start a revolution for lunch breaks. It's not in my interest to comment on employment matters. But I suppose what we need to do is raise awareness that it isn't unreasonable to look for a break when you're doing a long day and so engaged with patients and managing a pharmacy. And so no harm in raising awareness of that. It's great to hear that you've got an employer who does that. And I think that's going to be, as we go forward, the differentiator. I think people are going to start realising that these things aren't OK for your own physical and mental health. And the employers who actually look after the well-being of their employees are going to tend to be the ones who get loyalty and commitment and people wanting to work with them.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's not a big ask, but I think in years gone by, I felt it was a big ask. And I have to say, anybody I have worked with has always taken it into account with my health and that, that I have needed breaks and that. And I've been very lucky with where I've worked, both here and my job before. But I think, you know, and even in my intern year and all of that, like everyone did look after me very well. But I know there's people who haven't. And like, you know, it was only ever with me a day here and there where I would end up, you know, without breaks or whichever reason. And I can only imagine if somebody is working, you know, a 40-hour week and then, you know, not getting to sit down. And particularly, I think a pharmacist, you know, as you said, the personalities we have, you'll keep going for more. You know, you won't, if there is a quiet period, you'll go, I can get this done now. Or because there's always work to be done. There's never not work to be done, really, in a pharmacy setting.
And so and so we're back to mindfulness and self-discipline and looking after ourselves. Okay.
Yeah.
So I have two questions to before we finish. And one is, I suppose, maybe I'll start with your advice for pharmacists, you know, like yourself, who are, you know, young or early career or mid-career pharmacists. From all the things that you've been through, what are your kind of takeaways for you? Not to say that it would be the same for everybody, but what have you learned about yourself that's developed your resilience?
I suppose reflection, like reflecting on what makes you happy, what doesn't. Are you coping? You know, you will know if you're not coping. If you're coming home in the evening and you just feel like you're going to blow up, you might need to just take a second and think, you know, what's wrong? Like, what's wrong? If you need extra help, as I learned, it probably is a good idea to just check in with someone, even if you only ever did one session or whichever. Like, you just might need a pointer towards what might make you feel better or what might be wrong or why you feel a certain way. Particularly, I think this year, it's great because, you know, we are flagged, like any healthcare worker is flagged as being under pressure. And I don't think anyone has gotten through the year without being under pressure. So I would say definitely look into just checking in with yourself and being mindful. Look at, you know, activities that make you happy. Maybe don't do too many of them, as I found out last night. Like, over the years, I've found, you know, if surrounding yourself with people is what you need, then that's what you need. But if it's not, then, you know, look at things that maybe, you know, I don't know what people actually do if they don't like being around people, but I'm sure there are people who will tell you. With me, I've done stuff. I've done work with the IOP, as you know, Katrina. I have done volunteering in kids camps and with Barrettstown, you know, and that's just, again, to surround myself with people and I suppose sick children as well and that sort of thing. So
it probably resonates with you. Yeah, it's close to
it
your
does.
Heart, given
and,
your background.
And it's about picking meaningful, you know, activities. That was very meaningful for me, you know, because it ticked all the boxes of what I need to enjoy myself and it also, you know, it's giving back and all of that. And it also, because I kind of found I was, you know, in years gone by before the pandemic, I would have been out socializing a lot with friends and that. And, you know, that can become a bit tiring. And a little bit, I kind of wanted something, you know, that wasn't about me as such some of my weekends. So every couple of weekends I would do it. There might be two or three in the year. I would have done it before the pandemic.
And it's funny with those sorts of things. You can almost say to yourself, you don't have time, but it can be more replenishing and value adding, actually, when you take the time to stop and either relax, give yourself a break or volunteer or do something like that.
Yeah. And there's different elements of it. Like, you don't have to do, I mean, that's pretty hands on. There's other things you can do. I mean, even with them, you can do a day, you know, in hospitals and stuff like that. Again, pre-pandemic, I'm sure it will all come back. But like, I just found it very meaningful. And it definitely helped me a lot in the last few years to do something like that.
Excellent.
You know, and I just look at different activities I like. I like sport. Sport goes back to my dad, big sportsman. So I would focus a lot on not just watching sport and play it anymore, but that sort of thing. So
But as I
there's lots
say,
of.
you've almost created your own resilience handbook with all the concepts that eventually have become, popularized, but between mindfulness and journaling and social connection and looking after your fitness and being aware. Well done,
Thanks.
So the last question is with respect to, okay, you did your My Mind. I'm going to ask you to tell us how you got the details of that so others can too. But what do you think you'll do with that? You've had one session. What's going to change, or are you going to do another one, or what do you
I'll
think?
definitely. She did. I laughed because I was telling you at the start how I laughed when she asked me, did I do meditation? Because I found it boring. And I was like, I can't do yoga either. Ugh, it's too slow. And she was like, that's the point. So I will try it. I don't know, will it be for me or will I have to find something that maybe switches off my brain in another
In
level? But
another
I
way.
will try it. I'll do another couple of sessions just to see where it goes, because now I'm curious and
Excellent.
I'm just very curious about it all, really. So I just want to see. I'm kind of so gobsmacked at what someone can pull from what you say. I just want to explore that and just see, is there anything, because anything that leads to more happiness is great, and I'm generally a very happy person anyway, but I think anything that adds to that and adds to a life well lived is beneficial.
Helpful.
So it doesn't need to be for people who maybe are at home thinking about it. You might get a surprise and realize it's not what you think, and it's not about doom and gloom. I didn't find it about doom and gloom. Maybe for some people it will be, and maybe you need to explore that too, but I just found it positive and
Brilliant.
yeah,
So I
so.
love the word curiosity. I think if we can be a little bit more curious about ourselves, and spend that time, and potentially with the help of somebody, could be friends, or it could be one of those services that are free now. So finally, to finish, how did you access it?
I think it's just mymind.org, I think.
Excellent. Okay.
Yeah, it's mymind.org. I think if you just Google it, it will come up. And as pharmacists, all I think I just put in a screenshot of my PSI register or that.
You've been incredibly generous. What a story, and what a resilient lady you are. And there will be more, I'm sure, ups and downs in the life ahead of you, as there is for everybody. But it sounds like you've got a great repertoire of skills. And thank you for sharing so authentically and generously your thoughts with us.
That's no problem. I'm delighted. I hope it helps somebody anyway. And I hope nobody thinks it's a poor me or anything like that. It's not. And as I said, everyone's problems are their own. And to just reflect on them and look at them and see how they might be affecting
Well, I can assure you, Lisa, you have not painted a poor me
you.
picture. You have just very honestly shared your experiences, and thank you for that. And the very best of luck with the
Thank you
next
very
phase of your
much.
journey. Thank you for listening to The Resilient Pharmacist. If you like what you hear, please subscribe wherever you listened to this episode. And for more information, you can follow us on Twitter at Resilient Pharm.